Chronicles chapter 16, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and we are going to be preaching from there. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 1. This is when they bring the Ark of God into their midst. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 1. The Bible says, "So they brought the Ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. They offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and thank and praise the Lord God of Israel." There, he's appointed people to record what God has done and to thank and praise the Lord for his presence and him being among them. Now, we can't in our lives appoint people just to thank the Lord for us, so we're going to have to do it ourselves. And it says in verse 5, "And Asaph, the chief, next to him, Zechariah, Jael, Shimramoth, Jael, Mattaneth, and Eliab, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, Jael with the psaltery and with the harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals." And look at verse 7. "Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to do what? Thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren." So the reason that David gave this psalm was as a psalm of thanksgiving to thank the Lord, right? And so with that thought, we're going to get started here. And I can ask Brother Mark if you will ask the blessing on the service and the message this morning, please.
Thank you, Father in heaven, for a wonderful morning. Lord, the nice cool weather and the sun shining, Lord, all evidence of your love for us and mercy towards us. Thank you for our pastor who has studied. Be with Pastor Ashton. Give him strength, Lord, as he's on drill. I pray that you be with this sermon now, Lord. Be with our hearts now, Lord. Help us to be receptive, God. I know that we have a lot of burdens and we have a lot of stresses from this week.
Amen.
Even this week of planning and preparing,
Amen.
Lord. But, Lord, we need to clear our minds and clear our hearts, Amen. Lord, so that we can receive your word on good soil, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. There was a missionary in Malawi, Africa, and he went over there and he got set up to do ministry and mission work. And he saw one day a lady in the village. She was sitting in the dirt and the dust with her small child. She had very ragged clothes on. It was evident that she hadn't showered in a long time and she was very hungry. So what he did was he took her and her child and brought her to his house, and his wife cooked them a meal, gave them a shower, and gave them new clothes, and they ate, and they talked, and got showered up and cleaned up. And he was so thankful to be able to do this for that person. And as it was getting time to get ready for her to leave and go back to where she lived, they were there, and she's ready to work out the door, and they're eager to see her response for the kindness of what they've done. And she turned and pointed to a bag of vegetables and pointed to the wife's jewelry and said, "Kacha." And that, in their language, is a word for "give me." And he said, as he ministered over there, he began to understand that the concept of thankfulness was missing in their culture. They didn't know what it meant to be thankful. Not only did that woman not know what it meant, but the whole culture, they say, does not understand thankfulness. They think that you are there to give them and to provide for them. They expect it, and as soon as they get it, they're looking for more. And I think too often, you and I are like that poor woman sitting in the dust and in the dirt. And God comes along and does great and mighty and wonderful things for us. Right? Things we never would have thought of. And as we receive them, with the other hand, we're reaching out and saying, give. Could you please give me more? Could you please do this and do something else? And the Bible says that in the last times, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They don't think that God created them anymore. They think there are a God. And because of that, they expect, of course, I should get something because I'm the most important person on earth. And it says they'll be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. And I've noticed in our post-Christian culture, as it's going that way, that people increasingly are not thankful for the freedoms they have. They're not thankful for the riches they have. They always have their hand out like a bum on the street, and they're just asking for different things. Now, this Thanksgiving, instead of asking for different things, why don't we, as a Christian people, just thank God, like they did here in this psalm, for His presence? Thank Him for being there. Why don't we record some of the things that God has done for us as individuals and families and a church, and just thank the Lord for it? But what I want to give you this morning is, it's one thing to know that you should be thankful, and it's another way to show how to show that gratitude and thanks to God. Right? How many of you have had somebody do something nice for you, or they were a blessing to you, and you wanted to show them that you appreciated what they did, but you were very unsure of how you should show your appreciation? Should you bring them over and have a meal? Should you write them a card? Should you get them a gift? Should you say some kind words to them? How do I show my gratitude for this person and what they've done? But more important than that is, how do we show our gratitude for God, for saving our souls, for giving us oxygen and food and families and a church? How do we show our gratitude to a loving God? What would be some ways that we could show Him we're thankful? So I want to talk about practical ways to show the Lord we're thankful, because talk is cheap. People will say thank you, and they don't even mean it. Right? So we can just say thanks to God, but how does we know He know that we mean it? So here's how we can show Him we're thankful on a practical level. Number one, look at verse 8. He says this: give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Look at verse 24. Declare His glory among the heathen, and His marvelous works among all the nations. How can I show the Lord that I am thankful? Well, number one, I can speak about Him. I can make known His deeds among the people, and among the people, the heathen, I can speak of His glory. The Lord loves it when we are unashamed about speaking about Him. We're not careful who the audience is. We're not careful who we're around. We're just willing to speak about the Lord. How can I show God I'm thankful for this life that He gave me? For the family that He gave me? For the salvation that He gave me? For the food that He gave me? For the income that He gave me? For the ability and the privilege to live in America where we're relatively free? How can I show God I'm thankful because I didn't have to be born into all this wealth? And if you're in America, you're wealthy. If you're on welfare, you're wealthy. I could have been born over there in the dust and with the land masses of people, and they have nothing and they work all their life for a little bit of food. America is the place where we work and spend the smallest amount of our income on food. Most other peoples of the world spend the majority of their income just on feeding their belly and staying alive. So how do we show God that we are thankful for this? We talk about Him. We tell how good He is. I was eating lunch at one of my favorite places right up the road, Peter El Norteño or something like that. And they have these lunch specials for like $3.99 or $4.99, and it includes this big tea. And so I go there and eat lunch, and I'm sitting down next to this guy. And he said, "How are you doing, sir?" And I said, "Praise the Lord, I'm doing well." And he said, "Yeah, praise the Lord." He said, "I hadn't heard that in a while, praise the Lord." I said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Good." And then he just started crying. He said, "If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here." He said, "The Lord is the one that saved my soul and also saved my life." And he showed me his arm, and there was this big scar going down his arm with all these where there used to be stitches in it. And he said, "See that?" He said, "That reminds me every day of when the Lord saved my soul and my life." He said, "When I was 20 years old, I was a sniper in Vietnam. And I was sitting in a tree, and I was shooting at the Viet Cong." And he said, "All of a sudden, I notice all these people, and they're pointing at me." And he said, "How can they see me in this tree?" And he said, "I noticed my flash suppressor had fallen off, and they could see where the shots were coming from." And he said, "They pointed an RPG at me, and I said, 'Oh, man, there's no way they're going to hit me.'" And he said, "And it came, and it came and hit and blew the tree out from under him. And he fell down and busted his arm back the way wrong way and tried to straighten it out, and blood is squirting out and all this stuff." And he says, "And I take off running, and the bullets are going over my head. And I get down to the edge of the marsh, and it was real muddy there, and I fell down and I sank down in the mud." And he said, "They came and they're looking around, and I have all these reeds around me, and I'm down in the mud." And he said, "I could see the whites of their eyeballs as they're looking around." He said, "Pretty soon they left." He said, "And while I was laying down there in the mud with the enemy all around me, I cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he not only saved my life, but he saved my soul." And I said, "I think about that every day. He's my Savior." And he didn't know who I was from Adam. You know what he was doing? He was declaring the wonderful works of God among the people. You know how we can show God we're thankful for Him? We can talk about Him and tell everything that He's done to other people. One time there was a man, and you can read this story in the book of Esther, chapter 6, and he was a king of a big kingdom. And one night he couldn't sleep. And I really think the reason he couldn't sleep is because there were problems in the kingdom, and maybe it wasn't advancing as fast as it should have, because he couldn't sleep and he asked for the books of the records. Now, when I can't sleep, I'm like, "What's going on with church, man? What am I doing wrong?" Right? And then I try to go back over the records and see what's going on. And so he comes and he has these records being read to him. And he reads in the records, they're reading to him about when somebody tried to kill him. There was a man in the palace named Mordecai, and he told them that they were about to try to kill the king. And he said, man, I wouldn't even be here if it wouldn't be for this guy. What has been done to show him that we appreciate him? That we love him? We're thankful for him sparing my life. What did we do? And they said, nothing. He said, who's out in the courtyard? And Haman, the guy that hated Mordecai, was out there. And look how God sets this up. And he said, tell him to come in. And he said to Haman, he said, what should I do to show someone I really appreciate him? And I really love him. And Haman said, who does he want to appreciate more than me? Just like people today, right? Haman had an awesome Facebook account. Who wants to more than me? And you know what happened? He goes in there. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You put your royal apparel on him. Haman liked clothes. I'm telling you. He was a millennial like me, right? So he liked clothes and fashion. He said, and then put him on your royal horse. He also liked cars. Nice transportation. He wanted to take a drag down Main Street in a Ferrari. And then he said, get your most noble servant. Get the vice president and have him bring him along. And said, this is what is done to the man that the king delighteth to honor. The king wants to honor him. And he said, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Go get Mordecai and do that. Now you think about this. What would make you feel better than your enemies dragging you through town saying, this guy's awesome? What would be better than that? But you know how we can show God we appreciate him? We can take him with us. We can take him through town and say, this is the one that I delight to honor. This is the one I'm thankful for. This is the one I love. This is the one that saved my soul. This is the one that gave me life. I just want to talk about him because I want to show him I'm thankful. Look at verse 4. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Lord and record and thank and praise the God of Israel. Look at verse 23. Sing unto the Lord. Verse 9, sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Verse 25, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared among all gods. And verse 42, they get trumpets and cymbals and make a sound with musical instruments of God. And they're singing to him, and there's something that the Lord loves when his people sing to him. Right? And what you speak about him with your words and also speak about him by singing about him. The Bible says he inhabiteth the praise of his saints. He loves it so much that there's creatures up in heaven that rest not day and night saying, holy, holy, holy art thou Lord God Almighty. And that's all they do is praise the Lord. When upon life billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Look at verse 18, chapter 16 and verse 18. Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even strangers in it, and when they went from nation to nation and from kingdom to another people, and he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You speak about him with your words. You speak about him with your songs. And you know what else you can do? You can just remember what he's already done. He said, remember, God brought you from nation to nation. And you were defenseless, and I suffered no man to do you wrong. I protected you and took care of you. Instead of always asking God for more, can we remember, talk about what he's already done? The beginning of the year, there were some people that fasted, right? And I have 3 pages of prayer requests where we got together and we fasted about those prayer requests. And as I was thinking about remembering what God has done for some of us this year, I went back and I looked at those prayer requests that we fasted over. And if you don't think that there's something to prayer and fasting, if you want some prayer answered, you should try that. And I prayed for my son, and he got saved and baptized. Eric Cruz, Jessica Cruz, his wife, we've been praying for her for 4 years. A bunch of us came together, fasted and prayed. She got saved this year. Isn't that a blessing? We have a discipleship ministry that got established, and 10 people were trained on how to disciple other people. 4 people are already graduated, and more are being discipled. We got a lot done with the organization and leadership and the finances and the trustee board. We got the sound upgraded and lights upgraded and the thing to put it on the internet upgraded, the camera. We got a projector that you can see where I'm talking about and how slow I'm going. Brother Racho had a prayer request, and they've been trying to have a baby for years and years. They've been married for about 6 months. No, I'm just... No, that's not true. They've been married, and they've been trying to have a child, right? And to no avail, and they said, pray that God would give us a child. We're going to dedicate that child to the Lord tomorrow. I mean, next Sunday. Isn't that a blessing? Mr. Ron with finances, Gavino with a house that got rented out. I prayed for greater consistency in my devotional life, and that's happened, and better understanding as my job as a pastor, and that's happened. He sustained the church and helped it not to be destroyed when people were trying to destroy it. Look what he says in verse 12. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Can we just do that today? Just remember what God has done? And we're going to hear about some of that tonight. So, I can speak about them, and I can spend time with them. Look at what he says in verse 11. Seek the Lord and seek His face continually. Continually. How would you feel if God gave us the same amount of time and attention we devote to Him? If God put as many things ahead of us as we put ahead of Him, if God offered as many excuses as we do, and if those excuses were no more justifiable than ours, if God's promises were no more certain than ours, if God withheld His blessings from us as we withhold our offerings to Him. You know, if you are blessed enough to have a wife, nothing makes her feel more appreciated than when you give her your attention. You can give her all the lip service you want, and it means nothing unless you desire to be with her and desire her presence and desire her fellowship. And God's the same way in that respect. He said, I've spread my hands out all day to a rebellious people. I called and you refused. He's calling. Come, will you spend time with me? Why do you think you have so many difficulties and problems? Why don't you take it to the Lord to show Him you're thankful? He gave you life. Can you spend time with the giver of life? He gave you food. Can you Spend time with the person that sustains your body. He gave you salvation. How can we show God we're grateful? Well, we can spend some time with them. Because anybody that marries a wife and doesn't spend any time with her, it's not going to go too well. You know how children feel love? Not by presence, but by presence. Your presence. Spending time with them. You don't have to give them anything. Sit down and teach them something. Play with them. Read with them. Be ridiculous. Be goofy. The other day, Michelle's like, we need to do something fun. Man, going crazy, cabin fever. These kids have been sick all week. And when you get home, we'll do something. And so Bez is in there playing, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. And he's playing on the piano. And so I'm acting like I have a microphone, and I walk up the stairs with the kids. I'm like, go tell it on the mountain, right? And just acting the song out and being goofy. And they were having they had the most fun in the world. And it didn't cost anything. But how did they feel so loved and appreciated? When you sit down, take some time, spend some time with them. And you know what the Lord wants? He wants you to spend some time with them. There's a story in Luke chapter 17 where he's going into this town, and 10 lepers meet him. And they cry out to him, and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And it came to pass that they cleansed him. And I could see this group of 10 lepers, and they're healed, and they're like, wow. I don't have to stay on the outskirts of town anymore, and out here with all the lepers, I can go anywhere I want to go. You know, when people are overseas and they're in mission trips and they come back to America, I always ask them, what's the first thing you want to eat? Right? And these lepers, they come back. They're coming back to Jerusalem. The one leper says, what's the first thing you're going to do? You can go anywhere you want. Do anything you want. He said, man, I'm going to go sit down at a restaurant, and I'm going to finally have some good food I haven't had in years. And the next one, he said, what are you going to do? He's like, man, Thanksgiving's going to come up. I'm going to go see my family. I haven't been around my family for years. I've been out here in the leper colony. I can go see Grandma and Grandpa and my Theo and my Theophanopoulos and all this or whatever. I can go see them. Amen? My aunt and uncle, I can go spend time with them. That's what I'm going to do. And the other one, what are you going to do? He's like, man, I'm going to get a hold of my old boss and see if I can get my job back. And the other one said, I'm going to go see my homeboys. And they said, where's leper number 6? Where's he at? And if you found him, you'd find him at the feet of Jesus Christ. And he said, I just wanted to return back to thank you. I just want to be with you and spend time with you. When's the last time you've spent some time at the feet of Jesus Christ? I can submit to Him. Look at verse 14. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of His covenant. What is the covenant? It's the law. It's His commandments that He gave Moses and gave the children of Israel. And He said, you can thank Him by being always mindful of His covenant. And verse 16, even the covenant which He made with Abraham and an oath unto Isaac and confirmed the same with Jacob to Israel for an everlasting covenant. You know what you can do? You can submit to the Lord. He said this, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? He said, why do you say and give me lip service and you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do anything that I say? And a lot of people say that they appreciate you and love you, yet they never follow through and do anything that you told them to do or requested them to do, and they just give you lip service. A child, you'll tell him to do something, and instead of going doing something, he'll come and say, I love you. I'm like, what? Go do what I told you to do, right? And that's what the Lord is like a lot of times. He's reminding them, you say you want to thank God and praise Him and thank Him. Well, one absolute way you can do this is by submitting to Him. I read this story about Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy, and they went to a concentration camp, a labor camp, called Ravensbrück. And when they went there, they get them, and she said it's the most humiliating thing in the world. They take all these prisoners, and they make them get down to their birthday suit, and they walk through this line of soldiers that are jeering, mocking, looking for their medical inspection. They get over there, and they have a robe, the marked X, that they pick up. And as she was walking through there, she said, the Lord died for me, naked on the cross, and I never thanked Him for it. And after that inspection, they took them to the barracks, the place they were supposed to be staying. And as they took them over there, and you walked in, there was these narrow little pathways, and instead of beds, they had these slats set up for four people to sleep on, and they had hay in them, just a bunch of hay. And they're stacked, three of them high, and if you're on the middle bunk or the bottom bunk, every time someone moves, all that straw would fall down in your face. And there was all kinds of stuff in the straw that made it stink because the toilets were overflowing and some people couldn't control themselves. And they said as you laid there, the putrefying smell would make you just nauseous and want to vomit. And they get there and they get ready and they're about to go to sleep. And she said she felt something pinch her leg and she sat up and screamed and bumped her head on the slat above. And they looked down and they were covered in fleas. And she said to her sister, Corrie, how can we live like this? And she said, Lord, teach us how to live like this. And she said, she got excited before she went to sleep. And she said, you know what? The Lord has already given us the answer. It's right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. And she said to her sister, Corrie, we got to get down and we got to thank God for these conditions. And they got down and thanked God for the cruel guards and for being paraded in front of them without any clothes because it gave them appreciation what Jesus did. And she thanked the Lord for the crowded quarters because more people would be there that she could witness to. And she said, now, Corrie, we got to thank God for the fleas. And she said, not even God can make me thankful for the fleas. You have taken this thing too far. I can't thank God for the fleas. She read it again, and everything give thanks. She, with tears in her eyes, bit her lip until it was bleeding. She didn't want to do it. And she said, Lord, thank you for these fleas. And at night they would sneak their Bible out. They would open it and read a few passages of Bible. And the ladies started gathering around. And at night sometimes they would hear from the other barracks the sounds of wailing as the other female prisoners were being beaten by the guards. And they could hear them. They'd hear the whip drop and they'd hear screaming. Night after night they would hear this screaming. They had these Bible studies and they were scared at first and they got bigger and bigger and lasted longer and longer and more people started coming to the Lord and understanding what God wanted them to do as they read their Bible. And one time Betsy came running to Corrie all excited, crying, shouting, thanking the Lord. And she said, I finally figured it out why we are able to have Bible studies every night. And we don't get beaten at night, and we can tell people about the Lord. She said, I went to my supervisor to get something straightened out, and I asked her to come and see it. She said, I will never step foot in that barracks like those other guards do. That place is infested with fleas, and I will not go in there. And because of those fleas, they were able to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ and minister to people and help people in the darkest place on earth. But she said it wasn't until they submitted to God that they were able to do it. Most of us in here know exactly what God wants us to do. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. It's not what you know, it's what you heed and what you listen to. And you call yourself a Christian and you come to church and you act like you're a good person, but you have not submitted to God and what He wants you to do. And you use all kinds of excuses. Well, it's too hard and I got other stuff to do and I have other excuses. But the real problem is you're just a rebel and you haven't submitted to God because you're not thankful to Him for what He's done for you. Unthankful. Unholy. You know what I can do to show the Lord I'm thankful? I cannot just call Him Lord, Lord, but I can do the things that He said. You know what else I can do? Look at verse 26 and 29. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. I can sacrifice to Him. I can sacrifice to Him to show Him I'm thankful. How do I show God I'm thankful? He said this in verse 26, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. You know, some people can't afford to give to God, but they can afford their new car. Right? They can't afford to give to God, but they can afford television, a new purse, new shirt, new shoes. You can afford all the things you want. Right? But you know what the real problem is? You're just not thankful. You don't recognize that everything that you have is a gift from God. You just don't appreciate that God gave you all this stuff. And you know why you don't bring Him a sacrifice and you don't sacrifice to Him? Because He's not your God. He's your God. Everybody sacrifices to their God. Everybody gives to their God. There's no exception. You give to your God. Well, I'm an Israelite. It did no good if there was no sacrifice on the altar. Right? They had to bring their sin offering. They had to bring it all in. Or they were outcasts. They couldn't come into the temple. It wasn't enough to be an Israelite. They had to bring a sacrifice to the Lord to show that He was their God. And that's what He's looking for. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You know, some people don't preach on tithing. And you know, here's the thing. God does not need your money. God will take care of the church too, with or without you. He's going to do that. God doesn't need you. But why does He? Why would God, that made the universe and everything in it and made you, and then He gives you food, and why would He ask for things from you? You're not helping Him. You know why He asks it? Because He wants you to worship Him. He wants you to be thankful to Him. It's for your benefit. Listen, I talked to missionaries before that they went over there, and they said the people were so poor, so I didn't ask them for any offerings. I was supported from the state, so I just tried to build a church. And he said, and we could never get quality people, and the church would not grow above a certain point until I started teaching them to tithe and give. And then they started understanding and worshiping God and growing and learning to fear Him. And now we have churches all over. Why? Because I show God I'm thankful for His forgiveness when I bring Him a sacrifice. George Washington, when he besieged Boston, he asked Hancock, put your John Hancock on it, right? Whether the city should be bombarded. Hancock said this, "Nearly all the property, all the wealth I have in this world is in houses and other real estate in Boston. But if the expulsion of the British army requires their being burnt to ashes, issue the order for that purpose immediately." Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had the same spirit as Hancock had to his property in relation to the cause of Christ? You know what else I can do? Look at verse 35. "And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise." Say, save us, O God of our salvation, and deliver us from the heathen. You know what I can do? I can stake it all on Him. I can count on Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it shows God I am thankful, and I am trusting to Him when I count on Him and I stake it all on Him. I go all in for God. I put all my chips on the table for the Lord. So what are you talking about? Last year, I prayed that God would silence my enemies and the enemies of the church. And He didn't. And you know what I realized? The enemy is always going to be against you. He's always going to be against I. And the people speaking may change, but the spirit and the devil behind him doesn't. And he's always going to be against us. And there's always going to be a Haman to try to hinder Mordecai. There's always going to be people that try to, right? Always. But you know what the Lord taught me? You have to be bold and do what God wants you to do against an ever-increasing vocal enemy. You have to do what Nehemiah did. and build with one hand and keep the sword in the other hand and just keep on going for God and doing what He wants you to do. You know, I look at our culture and I think about our church, right? And we are a church, we still sing traditional music and we still have services more than once a week, right? And we still don't have the light show on stage, you know, and the smoke coming out and all the fog and stuff like that. And I look at our culture and I said, how is this going to be sustained? Our type of churches and a culture that's just going down. And the Lord said, the church has always been against the culture. The future of the church is not in the culture, it's in Christ. And you know what churches need to do and preachers need to do and Christians need to do? Stop looking to the culture and getting despaired. But look to Christ, knowing that He can rescue us from the culture. He can keep us from it. It doesn't matter how bad the culture gets and how bad politics get. That doesn't mean that there's no future for the church. The Lord said He was going to come back and get the church. There's going to be a church here when the Lord comes back. And they're going to be faithful and they're going to be trying to do something for God. And you know what we need to do? Look to Christ and we need to stake it all on Him. When it comes to our family, our church, our future, instead of looking to everywhere else, can we look to God and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me life, and if you gave me life, you can sustain it for as long as you want. If you called me to pastor a church, you can sustain it for as long as you want. I can have my confidence, and I can have my trust in you. I'm putting all my chips on the Lord, and you know what? I've read it. He's going to win. Nobody that ever puts their trust in Jesus Christ will ever be disappointed. Have you put all your trust in Him? You have it all staked on Him? I read the story in the news just yesterday. There was an old vet, and he got to where he fought in World War II, and he got to where he couldn't get around anymore. He buried a wife, he buried some kids, and they couldn't take care of him, so they told him, they said, we'll put you in a nursing home, you'll have better care, right? If something happens, there'll be people right there, so you don't have to worry about it. We have to go to work, we'll be here. And they noticed that things weren't going right with him, so they put a hidden camera in his room, hidden video camera. One day he died and the family called and said he died and they said something doesn't seem right and they went back and got that hidden camera and reviewed the footage of it. And the man, middle of the night, started gasping and he pressed the nurse call and he said, help me, help me. Eight minutes later, a nurse came in, adjusted his covers, and turned off the light. Finally, somebody came back in an hour later, and he was going out. And according to their policy and everything that was written, they were supposed to start compressions on him, they were supposed to call the doctor, they were supposed to call 911. They were supposed to do something to help the man because he was not a DNR. An hour later, when that guy was asking for help, a nurse came in and laughed at him while he was asking for help. Turned off the light. You see, they put him there because they put him somewhere where they believed they could trust somebody to take care of him. And it came down to the part where it really mattered. And he said, help me, help me, help me. And there was nobody to help. And the only person that can help you when you cross the valley in the shadow of death is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're counting on anyone else, and if you have your hope and trust in anybody else besides Jesus Christ, you will be disappointed. Because we're all going to leave this world. What do you have your trust in? What do you have your chips in? What are you counting on? What are you staking it all on? How do I show the Lord I'm thankful? I speak about Him. I spend time with Him. I submit to Him. I sacrifice to Him, and I stake it all on Him. We're having Thanksgiving this week. And I don't know which one speaks to you. They all convicted me. But I don't want to just tell the Lord I'm thankful this year. I don't want to just go around the table. Tell me something you're thankful for. I'm thankful that I have water. That's good. But this is something from the Bible that's better. Right? It's more than lip service. When you're buying your turkey, why don't you talk to somebody about the maker of the turkey? Tell somebody about them. Speak about them. Because we want to show the Lord we're grateful. Amen? If you bow your head, close your eyes, and I can have the piano player.
Hi, I'm Ashton Juergen, one of the pastors at Wesatch Avenue Baptist Church. I'd like to ask you a question. If you were to die today and pass from this life to the next, and you stood before God and He asked you, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? Many people answer, well, I've done good things and I go and work at charity. Others say, well, I'm part of my church, or I pray every day, or I got baptized as a child. These are all noble things, but they do not address the one problem that keeps us out of heaven, and that is our sin problem. You know, how we view sin and how God views sin are two different things. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. I want to ask you a few questions now, but I'd like you to be completely honest. Where the Bible says that you shouldn't lie, how many times have we told a lie? In the last week, in the last year, if you were to count them, how many would they be?